Today is a most auspicious day, the Transcendental Appearance Day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. So today everyone should observe fasting until midday. We say noontime, but really it means 1 o'clock. Because no one will eat while the Lord is eating. So 1 o'clock fasting. Today is also the appearance day of disappearance day of Purushottam Das Thakur and disappearance day of Srila Gaur Kishore Das Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj. So one thing, if we can just learn from Bhagavad Gita, we know Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yo Veditat Vataha. So we can just understand that the Lord's pastimes, Janma and Karma, are transcendental, then you go back to Godhead. You should make, actually, this can be the goal of your life. Just come to this little simple understanding. Janma Karma Chame Divyam. The Lord's pastimes and activities are transcendental. But this also, this benediction also applies to the associates of Lord Gauranga. Narottam Das Thakur sings, Gaurangera Sanghi Gane Nitya Siddha Karimane Se Yai Brajanda Sutapas Se Shi Gauda Manda Bhumi Ye Jane Chintamani Karahoya Braja Bhumi Vas. Simply by understanding that the associates of Lord Gauranga are eternally free from material contamination, one can immediately be promoted to the transcendental abode of Lord Krishna. If one simply understands that the land of Navadvip is not different from Vrindavan, then he actually lives in Vrindavan. So, if you can just come to that understanding today, this great personality, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and furthermore, Purushottam Das Thakur, these are great associates of the Lord. If we can understand their nitya siddha, then we'll go back to Godhead at the end of life. One will immediately be promoted to the transcendental abode of Lord Krishna. Similarly, Sri Gaur Govinda Maharaj, he was a great disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He preached very extensively and underwent extreme austerities to preach the message of Srila Prabhupada. He's also a great devotee, so we should offer, can remember him on this day also. Just a little bit about Purushottam Das Thakur before we start to speak about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Adi Lila, chapter 11, text 8 to 39, it says, the 23rd and 24th prominent devotees of Nityananda Prabhu were Sadashiva Kaviraj and his son Purushottam Das, who was the 10th Gopal. Since birth, Purushottam Das was merged in the service of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and he was always engaged in childish play with Krishna. In the Krishna Leela, then, Purushottam Thakur is the coward boy, Stoka Krishna. So you can see, eternal associate of the Lord. Not an ordinary person. Not sadhana siddha, he's nitya siddha. Eternally liberated. There's different kinds of personalities. There's sadhana siddha, those persons who attain liberation by practicing sadhana. And then there is kripa siddha, those persons who get liberation and by perfection by the mercy of the Lord. And then finally there's nitya siddha, eternally liberated, never conditioned. We're called nityabhada, or eternally conditioned. We're trying to become, join the eternal association of the Lord. You can make that, actually, one can actually become nitya siddha from nityabhada. So actually that nityabhada is not eternal. So we should not, on this day we're not reciting a Srimad Bhagavatam verse, but we can at least recite these verses of pranam to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and they also help us to understand something about Bhaktisiddhanta. He's called, we can understand this maybe in two simple words, Gaura Shakti. He's Shakti of Gaura, energy of Lord Gauranga. Even his very name that he was given at birth, Bimala Prasad, implies this. So first of all, please repeat after me. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Iti Namine. I offer my respectful obeisances unto His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who is very dear to Lord Krishna, having taken shelter at His lotus feet. Please repeat. Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitai Das. This is another name for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. It's actually the name that Srila Gaura Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj gave to him at the time of initiation. He is favored by Srimati Radharani, who is the ocean of transcendental mercy and the deliverer of the science of Krishna. So a few key words there. He's called Krishna Sambandha, and then Vijnana Dainai. He's giving, Daine means to deliver. So he's delivering this science of Krishna. Madhurya Jwala Premadya Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostate. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the personified energy of Sri Chaitanya's mercy, who deliver devotional service which is enriched with conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, coming exactly in the line of revelation of Srila Rupa Goswami. The key word there we can understand. Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti. He's the personified energy of Sri Chaitanya's mercy. Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudapasadanta Dvanta Harine. Offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the personified teachings of Lord Chaitanya, who are the deliverer of the fallen souls. You do not tolerate any statement which is against the teachings of devotional service enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami. So there's another key word, Gauravani Murtaye. He's the personified teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj personified, he is the personified teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Furthermore, he doesn't tolerate any nonsense. He do not tolerate any statement which is against the teachings of devotional service. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was known as Singham Guru, a lion guru. He would not tolerate any nonsense, any apasiddhanta. Apasiddhanta means against the Siddhanta. He would not tolerate any of that. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was a very strong preacher of this Siddhanta of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And coming down then, he's actually, and of course, it's the teachings enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami that he's presenting. So the beginning of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta we can even see prior to his birth. His father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, He was a great personality, also Nitya Siddha, eternally liberated devotee of the Lord. So he was even in a material sense also a great personality. He was the magistrate of Jagannath Puri, Purushottam Kshetra. He was, for a period of time, he was the temple president of Jagannath Puri temple. You can just imagine such a vast temple to be in charge of that. Not so easy. And he, actually, though, not only just took things simply, he also corrected many anomalies that were happening in the Puri temple. And for example, he put a clock in the temple and made everyone follow very punctual offerings. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was married. He was not a sannyasi, but he was grihastha. But very pure grihastha. Not grihamedi, but grihastha. And so he had several children. But he prayed to the Lord that there be a ray of Vishnu. Just like Kardama Muni, when he decided to enter grihastha ashram, it was not just for sense enjoyment. No. He wanted a great child, a ray of Vishnu also. And then Kapila Muni took birth. Kapila Muni actually is not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Lord. But in this case, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted a ray of Vishnu. So then this great personality, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, appeared. Srila Prabhupada comments in this connection that grihasthas should not just want to make children. That's no good. That's not proper. One should actually also similarly pray for a ray of Vishnu to preach this Krishna consciousness. So those of you who are taking grihastha ashram, you should take very seriously that ashram. Not that it's just time for having fun or play to enjoy. No. You should pray for a ray of Vishnu also. Or at least if that's not possible, you're not that great, at least you can preach Krishna consciousness to your children, make them devotees, and so on. So this is responsible grihastha life. So then this great personality, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, descended in this world. And when he was, Srila Prabhupada gives lectures several times on the disappearance and on the appearance days of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. He explains a little bit some pastimes of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. For example, when Bhaktisiddhanta was just a baby and he took birth actually in Purushottam Kshetra, in other words, in Jagannath Puri. Just a little bit about the date of birth, February 6, 1874 on the Christian calendar. That corresponds to the fifth day of the dark lunar fortnight in the month of Govinda, in other words, today. He took birth at 3:30 in the afternoon. And he is known then as Bimala Prasad Das. And that actually, this word Bimala Prasad means look, the meaning of this word is this. Let's see here. This word Bimala refers to the Parashakti, or the internal potency of Lord Jagannath. So his name literally means the mercy of the internal potency of the Lord. We were offering obeisances earlier as Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti, as the personified energy of Lord Gauranga's mercy. So even his name also means this. His internal potency of the Lord, Bimala Prasad, means this. So, because his father was Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur at that time was magistrate of Jagannath Puri and also in charge of Jagannath Puri temple. So then, during the Rath Yatra ceremony festival, then the Rath Yatra chariot stopped for 3 days in front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. This chariot moves under the will of the Lord. not under, you may pull as much as you want on the chariot, but it will not move. So this also was during pastimes of Lord Gauranga. They would pull the chariot and suddenly it would stop by the will of the Lord. So for 3 days, the chariot stopped in front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. And at that time, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the magistrate and in charge of Jagannath Puri temple, then his mother, who was, let me get the name here, Sri Yukta Bhagavati Devi. She, his mother, took Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, then just a little baby, and put in front of the Jagannath deity, went on the chariot and put in front of the Jagannath deity. And then at that time, a garland fell from the deity of Lord Jagannath onto the body of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So then we can understand, actually, that he was an empowered personality, not an ordinary personality. Actually, at the time of his birth, he had his umbilical cord was wrapped around his body like a Brahmin thread. And then at the time of his birth, an astrologer commented, "I have done many horoscopes in my life, but I have never seen before such a horoscope filled with all the signs of a great personality. This child will become world famous as a brilliant teacher of life's ultimate goal." This is correct. This astrologer was very correct in his comment. Furthermore, he had all the signs, these 32 signs of a great personality. We're there in the body of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And even we can understand furthermore about his family. We can trace his genealogy. That may seem like an uninteresting thing, but actually his genealogy is very significant too. In the 15th generation from Purushottam, there was a great king of Katuri named Raj Krishnananda. And he was actually the father of Narottam Das Thakur, the great Vaishnavacharya. And Raj Krishnananda himself was a great devotee, and he was personally favored by Lord Nityananda Prabhu. The 7th generation from Raj Krishnananda saw the appearance of Madan Mohan Das, who was a very famous personality in Bengal and Calcutta for his spiritual personalities. Now, his great-grandson was Ananda Chandra Dutt, and his son was Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And, of course, then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is the 4th son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So then we can understand, actually, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati comes in the same family as Narottam Das Thakur. So there's a great family, then, of great devotees of Lord Gauranga and Lord Nityananda. Narottam Das Thakur is a great Nityasiddha, eternal associate of the Lord. Even Narottam Das Thakur, his appearance was predicted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Lord Chaitanya would be chanting in great ecstasy before the appearance of Narottam Das Thakur. He would be chanting Narottam, Narottam in great ecstasy. And then Narottam eventually appeared. So these are all Nityasiddha, eternal associates of the Lord. So then, another pastime that Srila Prabhupada tells is that once upon a time when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was only 2 or 3 years old, he took a mango that had not been offered to the deity. And so then his father mildly rebuked him. "Oh, you have done very wrong thing. It was meant for deity and you have taken it. You should not have done it." So his father admonished him like this. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is great devotee. So he's teaching his son how to be devotee. Don't take the fruit that's not offered to the deity. We should take this lesson also. We will never eat any food that is not offered first to Krishna. Even fruit. You may say, "Oh, well, some fruit has come, maybe put on the altar or something," whatever. You have to first offer the fruit to Krishna. We get so much donations in the temple. I remember last year somebody brought so much grapes, unlimited cases of grapes. But all such fruit should be offered to the deity before it's taken. This should be a lesson. So that even applies to fruit, not just to grains, but to fruit also. So then, Bhaktisiddhanta, he took this vow that he would never eat mango in his life. It was a very severe vow. You can think, he was only 2-3 year old boy. When children are that young, there's no offense, actually. But still, he took this vow that he would never eat mango. And so then Prabhupada explains that when we would offer mango to him, Bhaktisiddhanta would say, "No, I am offender." And he would not take. Jai Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Rasabhari Ki Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshmananaman Ki Jai. So Prabhupada uses this example then of how he took this vow to show that he was acharya. Acharya means teach by example. Make some mistakes. Actually, his only child, not even a mistake, but he made some mistakes. So now he's teaching, "I will not eat fruit, this mango again." Mango is very wonderful fruit, king of fruits. Whole life he would not take mango just because of that one little mistake he made as only a little child. He would say, "No, I am offender. I cannot take mango." The Prabhupada explains they teach by life's action that one should be so much determined. And another example that Srila Prabhupada gives of how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta taught by personal example is once upon a time Bhaktisiddhanta actually had many disciples, and once disciple came with his wife. This Dr. Kapoor became a little famous actually later on. Dr. Kapoor came with his wife. At that time he was very young. His wife was very young. The wife then said to Bhaktisiddhanta, "My dear master, I want to speak with you." So then Bhaktisiddhanta said, "Sure, speak. Go ahead and speak." "But no," she says, "I want to talk with you secretly, not in the presence of everyone." Bhaktisiddhanta at that time was quite old. By calculation, age calculation, he would be grandfather of this girl. But still, he would not meet secretly with him. He said, "No, I cannot talk with you secretly. You can talk in the presence of all my other disciples." So he would not talk to women. Even somebody who's, you could say, by age calculation, his daughter. He would not talk with her secretly. We can take this example also. Don't talk with women secretly. So then, another thing that Srila Prabhupada remembers is just one fortnight before the disappearance of Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Bhaktisiddhanta around 9th or 10th of December, 1936. And he was asking in that letter, "How can I serve you? My dear master, your other disciples, brahmacharis, sannyasis, they are rendering you direct service, and I am householder." This is Srila Prabhupada writing. "I cannot live with you. I cannot serve you nicely. So I do not know how I can serve you." So then just within a day or two, Bhaktisiddhanta wrote back. Should respond to people quickly. You see, Bhaktisiddhanta is responding immediately to mails and emails and so on. So we should respond when people write emails to us or letters. "My dear," he says, "I am very glad to receive your letter. I think you should try to push on our movement in English. So this was 1936, Bhaktisiddhanta giving this order. And Prabhupada took that order very seriously. And he explains, Prabhupada says, I had no qualification, no, except that I took the order of my spiritual master very seriously. So then just a fortnight after writing that letter on around December 31st in 1936, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta disappeared, passed away. Prabhupada actually explains how Bhaktisiddhanta is Gaura Shakti, means he's empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta, they wanted to preach this mission of Krishna consciousness all over the world to fulfill this request of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prithivediyachi Nagarati Kram Sarvatra Pratyar Hoiva Moranam. The prophecy of Lord Chaitanya that this chanting will be, dancing will be spread all over the world. And Lord and Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they wanted this also to take place. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sent this book, The Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Teachings and Precepts of Lord Chaitanya. He wrote that in 1896 and he sent it all over the world, even to this McGill University in Canada. When I was at University of Illinois, and I found actually some books that Prabhupada had sent to the University of Illinois in the 1960s, even before he came to this country. So they were trying. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was trying. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent missionaries to England. They were trying to spread this mission of Lord Chaitanya all over the world. Finally, Srila Prabhupada carried out that mission. He took the order of his spiritual master seriously. Now we go back and speak something a little bit about initiation of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. When he was young, they had unearthed this Korma deity, and then Bhaktivinoda Thakur had given that deity to him, and he was worshipping it. He also was chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and also the Nisringa Mantra that were given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He had actually been worshipping that Korma deity from the age of 7 years old, without fail. And then, from 1885 onward, he received training in printing and editing at the press at the Bhakti Bhavan. So then, as a young man, he was very qualified then, candidate for becoming a disciple. He knew so much Shastra. He knew how to print and edit and so on. So then there were many pseudo-gurus at that time. They wanted to initiate Bhaktisiddhanta, mostly in the Sahajya category. Well, you could say they were all Sahajyas, people taking the order of the spiritual master cheaply. Bhaktisiddhanta was a strict renunciate from birth. So many people wanted to initiate him, but Bhaktisiddhanta was not interested in such pretenders. Gaura Kishordas Babaji Maharaj had arrived in Navadvip Dham just after Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had discovered the place of the Yogapit, the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. And after Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj had confirmed this as the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, then Gaura Kishordas Babaji Maharaj arrived. And he used to like to hear these discourses of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. When he arrived in Navadvip, and he was singing in ecstasy, and his only possessions were the Tulsi Mala, which he wore around the neck, and another set he kept in his hand for chanting. He kept a few books, such as Narottam Das Thakur's works, the Prarthana, and the Prema Bhakti Chandrika. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was known as a great devotee in Vrindavan. He had been performing bhajan for many years in Vrindavan before coming to Navadvip. He was known as a disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, but he was not well educated. Some people say he was illiterate, but I don't know. He had these books with him, so. And in his, so then he was considered actually a liberated Paramahamsa of the highest caliber in the area of Braj Mandal. So then suddenly he came to Navadvip Dham. At the time of his arrival, he was wearing a cap made of tiger skin, and he was carrying a basket of various items and materials for his service. He spotted Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and he offered him 4 or 5 pieces of knotted rope for chanting rounds, a tilak stamp with the initials for Hare Krishna, the tiger skin's cap, and paraphernalia for worship. Bhaktisiddhanta was very attracted to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj's lotus feet at first sight. And he was later to comment with great humility. This is now a quotation from Bhaktisiddhanta. I have been busy within this material world trying to bring sense gratification within the grasp of my hand. I have often thought that by obtaining the objects of sense gratification, all my shortcomings will be fulfilled. I often attain different facets that were indeed very rare, but my own personal shortcomings were never mitigated. In this material world, I have had the association of very high-class, aristocratic persons. However, seeing their various deficiencies, I could not offer them praise. The most merciful Supreme Lord, Sri Gaurasundar, seeing me in such a lamentable condition at such a time of adversity, gave permission to his two most dear devotees, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, to grant their blessings to me. Because I was always intoxicated with worldly false ego, wanting again and again self-appraisal, I deprived myself of my own real benefit. But because of the influence of my previous birth activities and devotional service, I came into the association of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was the form of my spiritual well-wisher. My spiritual master, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, would go and visit Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and many times would reside with him. Srila Bhaktivinoda, out of his compassion for other living entities, pointed out my spiritual master, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Upon seeing my spiritual master, the extent of my worldly false ego diminished. I knew that all other living entities who have taken the human form of life were also fallen and low like myself. But by gradually observing the spiritual character of my master, I realized that only a Vaishnava could reside in this material world and be of exemplary character. So then in the month of Magh in the year 1900, at the urging of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta approached Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj for initiation. But then Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj expressed reluctance to accept him, knowing Bhaktisiddhanta to be a great scholar. Bhaktisiddhanta pleaded with him for initiation. And finally Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj replied, Mahaprabhu will be asked. If he gives permission, your desire will be fulfilled. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj is in communication with Gauranga. So he's going to ask him. But then later on, a day passed, Bhaktisiddhanta approached him again and asked him, what was Mahaprabhu's order? Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj replied, I forgot to ask. And then the third time, he asked Babaji Maharaj, and then Babaji Maharaj replied, I asked, I did not receive the command of Mahaprabhu. Unquote. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati stood up, his heart breaking, and said, You, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Srila Gaura Kishore are both worshippers of Krishna, the crest jewel of debauchees. Therefore, why will you take mercy on someone dedicated to ordinary morality like me? In his pastimes as the exemplary teacher, Mahaprabhu is given instructions on the worship of Krishna, the crest jewel of debauchees. Therefore, why will he give the command to take mercy on me? But Karananar Kwelo Kandiya Kandiya Prananoi Rakibihor. If there is no mercy, weeping and weeping, I can sustain my life no more. If I do not receive your mercy, I do not see any need in holding on to my life. Bhaktisiddhanta wanted to give up his life. He didn't want to hold on to his life anymore if he couldn't get initiation. Bhaktisiddhanta then began to cry. And then Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj's heart was melted to see this, so he told him to take bath in the Saraswati and then come back to him. At the time of initiation, he gave Bhaktisiddhanta the name Sri Barshabhanade Devi Daitaya Das. Sri Barshabhanade Devi Daitaya Das. So then, Bhaktisiddhanta, he went to Puri and he was preaching. He wrote a book by the name Bhange Samajika, which described the origin, location, and philosophy of various societies, castes, and religion. And he expounded the clear superiority of Lord Chaitanya's doctrine of inconceivable simultaneous oneness and difference. And then he toured in various places, such as in Orissa. He went to the Chirchur Gopinath Temple in Ramuna. At that time then, Bhaktivinoda Thakur decided to build a place of bhajan near the samadhi site of Haridas Thakur. That place now is the location of the ISKCON Center there. And Bhaktisiddhanta helped him then, helped his father in constructing this bhajan kutir by the sea. At that time then, the Maharaj of Kasimbazar came regularly to hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta. They were giving classes regularly in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Also at that time there was a famous Babaji by the name of Radharamana Charanadas. And he used to also come to hear the discourses of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But unfortunately, this Babaji, Radharamana Charana, started to introduce different deviations, such as this chanting of Bhajan Nitai Gaura Radhe Shyam Japa, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. He introduced that chanting, which Bhaktisiddhanta and Bhaktivinoda Thakur preached against strongly. They considered it to be a concocted mantra that had the faults of Siddhanta Viroda and Rasabhas. And this Babaji also was trying to suppress the chanting of the Hare Krishna, audible chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So this was also against the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Bhaktisiddhanta and Bhaktivinoda Thakur were preaching against these teachings of this Babaji. Unfortunately, though, this Babaji had a lot of followers in Jagannath Puri. He was a very popular personality, perhaps sentimentally so. They were following him. Another thing, this Babaji introduced the Sakibeda doctrine by addressing his follower Jai Gopal Bhattacharya as a Lalita Saki. So this was against the teachings of Lord Chaitanya as well, because an ordinary jiva was being worshipped as though he were an expansion of Radharani, a terrible offense. So they told this Babaji to stop these teachings, these fallacious practices, but the Babaji refused. And so this created a big controversy in Puri, and some took the side of Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's. Others took the side of this Babaji, and quite a few took the side of this Babaji. Finally, the situation got so bad that there was such an outroar and so much oppression that Bhaktivinoda Thakur told Bhaktisiddhanta to go to the bhajan, go to the yoga peet and perform bhajan. So then, starting in 1905, at the age of 31, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati took a great vow, following the example of Namacharya Haridas Thakur, chanting 3 lakh names, 192 rounds per day. So we should not take this and try to imitate this. He's actually told to do this by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his father. Prabhupada said, if you try to go to Vrindavan or Mayapur and sit and imitate Haridas Thakur, you'll simply fall down. And what will happen? You'll simply think of women and chapati. That's all. So don't try to imitate. We have to engage in preaching activity. We cannot simply chant 192 rounds per day. We'll not be chanting Hare Krishna. We'll be chanting, oh, give me chapati, oh, give me woman, give me this. Our chanting will not be proper. But anyway, this, for Bhaktisiddhanta, he was a great personality, so he could execute this vow. And Srila Prabhupada says, actually, says from childhood he was a very strict brahmachari. And he underwent very severe penances for starting this Krishna consciousness movement, this worldwide movement. That was his mission. So we can see then he underwent this very severe austerity of sitting in Mayapur, chanting 300,000 names daily. And he had this vow that to complete 1 billion names of Hare Krishna chanting. He resided in a simple yoga, a grass hut at the yoga peet for 4 years. In 1909, in February, he built a cottage near the yoga peet at Vrajapatna on the site of the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya. And there he remained uninterruptedly chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He strictly observed the vow of Chaturmasya, cooking rice, which had been dried in the sun and then eating it with ghee, and eating from the floor like in the manner of a cow. He'd take rest lying on the ground, never using any pillow, and then constantly engaged in chanting. So that was his Chaturmasya, very strictly observing that Chaturmasya vrat. Prabhupada said we abstain from certain things during the months of Chaturmasya, milk for the first month and spinach, and then yogurt, milk, on the herb doll, simple Chaturmasya, but Bhaktisiddhanta would observe Chaturmasya in a very strict way. So even when his bhajan kutir became broken and it would rain, he wouldn't try to fix it. He wouldn't take time from his bhajan. He simply took an umbrella and kept it during the rainy season. So very strictly observing these vows of chanting 192 rounds a day. Then once upon a time in 1906, there is this one young boy named Rohini Kumar Ghosh, and he had a wonderful dream on the result of which he approached Bhaktisiddhanta for initiation. The situation was that this boy had gone to stay with some balls. The Baals are a Sahajya group in Bengal. Maybe you've heard of them. And this Baal and his wife, kind of a guru, you could say, pseudo-guru, and his consort, they were supposed to be addressed as mother and father, but they are actually sinful rascals in the guise of devotees. So then, this boy, he went to the place of the bowls, and feeling ill, he lay down to rest. But then in a dream, he saw the bowl take the form of a tiger, and his consort take the form of a tigress. And they are just about ready to devour this poor boy. This is all happening in the dream. This boy actually was a bit interested. He wanted to take shelter of Lord Gaurasundar, Lord Chaitanya. And so at that point in the dream, then, Bhaktisiddhanta arrives and chases away the tigers and leads them to Mayapur. And then at that point, the boy wakes up from the dream and goes to Mayapur, and then he hears the discourses of Bhaktisiddhanta for several days, and then he finally begs initiation from Bhaktisiddhanta. And then he granted him initiation. Actually, prior to that incident, then, Bhaktisiddhanta had never given initiation to anyone. But after that time, then, slowly he began to take disciples. But he would always see them, he would address them as Prabhu, in other words, Master. Although Bhaktisiddhanta is a great Prabhu himself, still he would address his disciples as Prabhu. Once in an address at the Gaudiya Math's first Vyas Puja, he addressed his disciples as my friends, rescuers from danger. So you can see, he's taking a very humble position. He wrote that if a Vaishnav does not do the work of a guru, then the spiritual Vaishnav lineage will stop. Makes sense. If he does the work of a guru, but again, if he does the work of a guru, then he becomes a non-Vaishnava. That seems to be a contradiction. On the one hand, he's saying, if you don't do the work, if a Vaishnava doesn't do the work of a guru, then the parampara is going to stop. But on the other hand, he says, if he does the work of a guru, then he becomes a non-Vaishnava. Why, though? Then he explains. For if a guru thinks, quote, I am a guru, then the first U letter in the word guru disappears. The word becomes garu, or cow. A real guru does not make disciples, and thus remain a guru. So Bhaktisiddhanta is giving us a very strong warning here. And then furthermore, he would offer obeisances to his disciples. When they would offer obeisances to him, he would return that as, Dasosmi, I am your servant. Once upon a time then, on the occasion of Bhaktisiddhanta's disappearance in 1973, Srila Prabhupada had the same ecstatic mood. He said, anyway, it is by his grace, in other words, Bhaktisiddhanta, I was forced to give up my family life, and he brought me some way or other in preaching his gospel. So this is a memorable day. What he desired, I am trying a little bit, and you are all helping me, so I have to thank you more. You are actually representatives of my Guru Maharaj, because you are helping me in executing the order of my Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much. So Srila Prabhupada is thinking of his disciples as being representatives of his Guru Maharaj. And he's thanking them for helping him to execute the order of his spiritual master. Now, once upon a time, there arose a great controversy among the Vaishnavas, on this issue of Vaishnavas and Brahmanas, and the relative positions of the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. So at that time, some of these caste Goswamis, this is 1911 then, and members of the Smarta Brahmanas and so on, they made a huge agitation, and they organized a great conference in Bengal to try to settle the issues. So they invited so many pundits and scholars spiritual leaders from all over India. They invited the members of the Radharaman Temple, for example, in Vrindavan. So they tried to make a good representation of the different groups. The Smartists were trying to argue that if a person appealing in a Sudra family is initiated by Pancharatrika initiation, according to the Vaishnava scriptural rules, he still remains unfit to worship the Saligram Sila. So you see, that completely undermines our movement, if you follow this. They were claiming that one is not born in a Brahmin family, even though he undergoes initiation, he's not fit to worship the deity, essentially. In other words, Saligram Sila. Second point they were trying to claim is that anyone not taking his birth in a Brahmin family cannot perform all the duties of a Brahmana. Even if he's an Uttama Adhikari, he cannot become an Acharya. So these were their claims, among others. Bhaktivinoda Thakur heard about this, and he was greatly disturbed by this. But unfortunately, at that time, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was ill. He had some rheumatism, and he was in bed. So he couldn't go to this conference. So then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he wrote a book. Or wrote a paper, I should say. Quoting many different scriptures and so on. And he showed it to his father, to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very pleased to see this. And he roared out, "Is there no one manifest in the Vaishnava world who is capable of meeting with them," in other words, these smart brahmanas, "and by the conclusions and original logic of the scriptures, put an end to their lowly activities, which are nothing but frenzied dance of the three material qualities?" Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was completely against these teachings of the smart brahmanas. And then he says, "Saraswati, truly Saraswati," on reading this book of Bhaktivinoda, this paper of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "Saraswati, truly, truly Saraswati, truly, truly is the Acharya's son illuminating the face of the Vaishnava world. By the light of these judgments, the darkness of the Karmajat Smarta doctrine will certainly be dispelled." So then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati went to this conference. And on the first day of the conference, he presented so many verses in praise of the brahmanas. And of course, then the brahmanas, these smarta brahmanas, were very happy. The next day, though, he argued against their nonsense conclusions. And then, of course, they were very upset. And they tried and tried, but no one could counter his arguments. Fortunately, the other Vaishnavas who were there, like from the Radharaman temple, they supported Bhaktisiddhanta. And so finally, in the final speech of the conference, Bhaktisiddhanta spoke, and everyone could not counter anything he said. Such a brilliant speech. So then everyone came forward. They wanted to get the dust of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So then the police took Bhaktisiddhanta to a room and washed his feet over his objection, and then spread the water over everyone, and everyone then felt some satisfaction. So this then was the preaching of Bhaktisiddhanta. You can see he's actually establishing this mission on a scientific, philosophical footing. Because if these doctrine of the smarta brahmanas had become held sway, then our movement would have no standing. Also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is establishing this movement on a strong philosophical ground. So, therefore, this movement has been able to spread all over India and all over the world, in spite of these smarta brahmanas. Okay, any questions? Yes, Prabhu. change their mind. So we should all keep fasting today until noontime. No fruit, no nothing. You fast like this on the day of the great Acharya, you can then offer a prayer. You request the mercy of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. But if you don't maintain fasting, then you'll not get his mercy.
So, Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving wonderful class. So, in this connection, we see in our parampara different acharyas coming in different phases of time. Accordingly, their time, place, and circumstances they preach. So, we wanted to hear the major impact of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati preaching according to the time and place circumstances, how he counteracted the Mayavadis which our Prabhupada counteracted, and we want to also hear a little bit about this, how Prabhupada is able to receive the inner heart of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the mood and mission to carry on.
Well, not easy to speak on those things, but also a little late too. But we can see, I mean, another thing that I did think about was that this point, another important teaching that we got from Bhaktisiddhanta was that we should utilize whatever technology may be there in the service of Krishna. We can see that prior to Bhaktisiddhanta, the devotees would just stay in Vrindavan, perform their bhajan and so on. They would not go out, say, drive in a motor car, for example. Bhaktisiddhanta is driving in motor cars, which at that time was an unprecedented thing to do. No Vaishnava would do that. But Bhaktisiddhanta, he would take these, say, at that time the technology was the car. Get in the car and go around and preach. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he flew around the world in airplane. Ordinarily, the stricture, like, for example, the Madhvas, they will refuse to even leave India and go across the ocean. They would never get in an airplane. But Srila Prabhupada got in an airplane and went around the world 18 times and preached Krishna consciousness all over. So Srila Prabhupada was very expert at engaging this technology also. But he got that from Srila Prabhupada. Similarly, now some new technology has come. We shouldn't just say, oh, this is all wasteless use of time. We use whatever it is. We get a microphone, we get these phones, we get this computer, use it in Krishna's service. But that's not to say that we're attached to it. If suddenly all the internet goes away, we're happy. We'll still engage in our bhajan. It's not like somehow, oh, it's a terrible thing. We'll still keep on preaching in our own little way. Maybe more locally, but we keep on. So whatever may be the technology of the day, you can engage it in Krishna's service. Now you may say, okay, it can be a little maybe contaminated by that, but still, we should try to engage whatever is in our sphere without too much effort. Okay, maybe another rule is if you have to undergo too much work to get the money to buy whatever that thing is, that piece of technology, okay, that's like going too far, don't work too hard to get it, but that's called over-endeavor for mundane things. So that was another, that you could say is one lesson we can learn from Bhaktisiddhanta. And as far as, of course, teaching, preaching in the Mayavadis, we know he was very severe in his preaching. And so much so we can hear these pastimes of him. The Mayavadi would be crossing the street on the other side and he would call them out. Say, don't preach this Mayavad philosophy. In this way, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was giving the example of strong preaching, not compromising the philosophy according to just making followers. Prabhupada was that way also. He didn't want to change the teachings just to make followers. It's very easy to do. You can get lots of followers if you just make things, just have a few rules. But Prabhupada had four regulative principles, which even today is difficult. In the 1960s, when Prabhupada went to America, so many people were taking drugs and alcohol. He was preaching among these people who were, he could have just said, oh, well, sure you can smoke ganja, no problem. But no, he never said that. He never compromised those basic essential points. So in that sense, we can learn from Bhaktisiddhanta. Don't compromise on the philosophy. Don't compromise on the practices just to make followers. Anumanji.
Hare Krishna. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Swamiji was preaching the truth that the one is not a Brahmin by the birth, but by the qualification.
Yes.
Chaturvarna Maya Sushtam Gunakarma Vihagashaha. So, because of his real preaching, the caste Brahmins and the Goswamis become inimical to him. And they actually wanted to kill Bhaktisiddhanta ji, and they went to the police station and spoke to the inspector that they want to give some bribe. But if kill also, should not take any action. But the that policeman was devoted to Krishna, and he said that we will accept bribe, but not for the saintly persons. If you do something, we will take heavy action. So that, and also he informed Bhaktisiddhanta Swamiji that please take care of yourself. These people are dangerous, and you look after nicely. Be careful. His comment.
Yeah, very nice. Thank you, Hanuman Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
So these the pastimes of Lord Srila Bhaktisiddhanta are unlimited. Like, we can say Ananta Shesha cannot describe all the pastimes of Lord Vishnu. Similarly, we cannot describe all the pastimes of Bhaktisiddhanta, and even in 1 hour or 2 hours or all day, we can glorify and remember the pastimes of Bhaktisiddhanta. They are unlimited. And by hearing such pastimes, we will also become purified. And as I was saying at the beginning, the lesson, if we can just come to realize that, and not just on a matter of faith, but also realized by activities, that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was Nityasiddha, eternal associate of the Lord, then we'll go back to Godhead at the end of life. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari O. We'll have Pushpanjali at 12:20. Everyone should come for Pushpanjali, 12:20. Hare Krishna.